We just getting started, baby. Did anybody see what Mr. Wardell Steph Curry did to the Portland Trail Blazers? They were nobodies. They beat the Giants. Trash. They beat the Broncos. Trash. If you ever watched Dragon Ball Z, my man's was Super Saiyan. I couldn't wear this until we actually caught a dub. And he did all of this damage in 36 minutes. Let that sink in. They beat the Eagles, trash, the Cowboys, trash, the Bengals, trash, the Jaguars, trash. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. Let's wait for some people to come on in. Yo, 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 come on in, people. Welcome to Rob's Two Cents, the live show. I'm here to talk to y'all. This show is about y'all. Come on in. We got a lot to discuss. Where my sports fans at? Where my people at? We don't even have to just talk sports, man. This is going to be a real cool show. You know, you feel me? It's that rim thing, you know. I'm chilling with my people. Kurt, what's up, my boy? Golden Media. You know it. Let's go. Want a few more people in here. Yeah, I hope y'all like the banner. Peep the banner. We over here talking. What's up, sis? My boy Jay, what's happening? What's up, little sis? Gather around here. Welcome to Rob's Two Cents. I know y'all used to the intro. About to talk a little nonsense. But like I say, this is a chill show. I'm not on the professional side tonight. We got our rim. We gonna sit back, chillax. What's up, Angie? What's happening, Angie? That's my dog, y'all. What's going on? Come on in. All right, yeah. All right, we got some people in here. Welcome to Rob's Two Cents, the live show. I want to look at the camera. I want to look right at y'all. Let y'all know what's going on, baby. My boy, Steve. Steph, what's good, my boy? We got a lot to go into. Let me know. And y'all put some comments, some topics in the comment section. Let me know what y'all want to talk about. But right now, I got a big announcement to make. If you guys haven't heard, and I got to get on my Stephen A. Smith, the NFL just announced some big news, y'all. They are now going to have a 17-game season. How y'all feeling about that? The NFL is going to have a 17-game season. So owners on Tuesday, they approved the expansion of the regular season from 16 games to 17 games, and it will be happening this season. What comes with that is they're only going to have a scheduled 3-game preseason now instead of the 4 games they usually do. So that's some big news, especially for teams that's trying to get, you know, into that playoff picture. You know, it also gives us the fans more to look at. You know, we got a lot going on. I see a question. Here we go. What are your thoughts on the buyouts and the teams going into the playoffs? I'm glad you asked that, Jay. I just knew what my people was going to ask me. So I'm glad you asked me that. I want to actually talk about players that made debuts with their teams from this trade deadline and from the buyout. We got to start off talking about Brooklyn, because Brooklyn made a hell of a move. We already knew they bought in Blake Griffin. We already knew, you know, the other moves that they had made, bringing in James Harden 10 games into the new season. But now they bought in L.A. They bought in LaMarcus Aldridge. A lot of people said Aldridge was washed up. A lot of people said, you know, his Portland days were over with. You know, what we saw in San Antonio wasn't the L.A. that people thought was going to be a great, you know, teammate of Kawhi Leonard's, which is why Kawhi got the hell up out of there. Kawhi said, I'm going to go to the Clippers. I'm going to go ahead and bring Paul George with me. I don't know how that's turning out with the Clippers, but they better hope they get playoff Rondo. But back to the Brooklyn Nets, because LaMarcus Aldridge has revitalized himself in Brooklyn. As you know, he made his debut going against the Charlotte Hornets, and they beat the Hornets 111-189. Keep in mind, KD wasn't there. James Harden wasn't there. They only had Kyrie, and even Blake Griffin wasn't there. But they had Kyrie and they had LaMarcus Aldridge, and he had a pretty good game considering the fact he hasn't played in a couple of weeks, about 6 to 8 weeks to be exact. He had 11 points, even though he shot 4-10 from the field goal. He did hit his only three that he took. He also had 6 assists, 9 boards, 2 steals, and 1 block. L.A. went crazy. You know, considering the fact you haven't played for 6 to 8 weeks, he didn't come out and do too much. He did what he was there to do. They got Kyrie to score. They don't need nobody else to score. And then especially when you bring back James Harden and Kevin Durant, that's an automatic bucket. We're talking about three of the greatest isolation basketball players to ever touch the appeal. But LaMarcus Aldridge can also play. And I told y'all, if y'all watched my last show on Rob's Two Cents, that L.A. and James Harden is going to be nasty in that pick and roll game. Even though James wasn't there, I just saw it happening with him and Kyrie. He's able to get his position in the post. He's able to body other defenders down there. And look, L.A. is just a ton. Not to mention, he came in, got you 2 steals and a block. So you're also going to bring a defensive aspect to Brooklyn that Brooklyn was very much lacking. But when you can now score teams, you really don't have to worry about defense, right? Let me see. I think that chemistry is going to be good because it's that dynamic. Great question, Steve. It's that dynamic. Brooklyn dynamic. You see, a lot of people, including myself, when we first heard James Harden, KD, Kyrie playing together, we think there's not enough ball to go around. There is too much basket. There's too many good players and not enough basketball. They only give you one basketball in a game. But the fact that these players complement each other, because James doesn't need to score unless he has to. And then Kyrie is going to be looked at as the two guard. And KD, we know, is probably one of the greatest off the ball players. So he doesn't need the ball in his hand to still go get a bucket. So I actually think Brooklyn chemistry is going to be pretty good, man. And then you got to see what I always tell people. If you watch my show, I always live by this mantra. Yes, on other teams, I might have been washed up. But when you put me on a real team and I have a real chance to win a championship, I'm going to give you 120%. So the Blake is even dunking again, y'all. We ain't seen Blake dunk since the Clippers. Blake out there catching oops. He doing putbacks. I understand what you're saying, Murder. Holla at your boy, man. What's up, Big Meech? I appreciate you for jumping on, man. Yeah, I know they got to do a lot more, but you got to understand, man, Blake knew he wasn't going to get no damn ring in Detroit. He wasn't going to get no ring in Detroit. So, hey, we're going to pack it in. I'm going to go ahead and get this money, and then I'm going to go ahead and retire. But now you move me to Brooklyn. I got paid from Detroit because they bought me out my contract. Money is not an issue anymore. I want to win a ring. So we're going to see. But we also, I don't want to keep it just on Brooklyn. We saw some other players make their debut. We saw Victor Oladipo make his debut with the Miami Heat as they beat Golden State 116-109. It just pains me to say that, y'all. You know how much I'm a Steph Curry fan. But, you know, just realistically, he can't do it by himself. They need Klay. They definitely going to be missing KD. But I feel like if they can get a good trade to come, people still want to play with Golden State. Don't be surprised if the Lakers do lose this year. You know, LeBron be on them 2-year contracts. You saw how chummy him and Steph were together. Don't be surprised if you see LeBron in a Golden State jersey, because Steph ain't leaving Golden State. I just want y'all to know that. But we saw Victor Oladipo make his premiere. He scored 6 points. He had a bad shooting game, 2-8 from the field, 0-4 from the three-point line. He had 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. We also saw Vucevic. He's been making his debut, but damn it, the Bulls are 0-3 since he came here. I know Zach LaVine been in and out of the lineup, but Vucevic has been doing this thing. He had 2 21-point games. The last game versus Phoenix, he had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Vucevic is balling. We just need the Bulls to get it together. They still are a lot of pieces away from being a real contender in the East. But they're going in the right direction. It's about time. We got a GM that's willing to spend some damn money. But Denver is who I want to talk about, because I think, low-key, Denver got the best motherfucking pickup in the trade deadline, because they got Aaron Gordon. And what he does is he brings a big body to contend with teams in the Western Conference. So to contend with your Kawhi Leonard, to contend with your LeBron James. He's gonna be able to bang down there with them boys. Not saying he can stop him. You can't stop a great player, but you can slow his ass down. And that's what he's there for. Not to mention his athleticism, the way that he can dunk. I'm telling you, man, Aaron Gordon is a beast. The last game they played the LA Clippers and they beat the Clippers down, he had 14 points. He was 6 of 13 from the field, but he had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. That's what I'm saying, man. The man can jump out the gym. And again, when you're going to play for a team that can contend for a championship, you got to remember the Joker, big Nikola Jokic, is an MVP candidate. And if James Harden doesn't come back in time, he might win the MVP this year. The Joker's been balling. I mean, we haven't seen a center be able to just get triple doubles like he has. You know, he's an excellent passer. He can bang down there with you. He can shoot the outside shot. The Joker is your typical center in today's league. However, unlike most centers, he can actually get his own shot. So he can bang down there like a Joel Embiid. So, man, you got to give it up for the Joker. Denver is no joke, y'all. Oh, man. Hey, appreciate you, Rob, my boy. Rob, I appreciate you for coming in. Murder, you ain't never lying, man. We need a damn point guard, man. The Bulls, I definitely need somebody to facilitate. I don't think you want Zach LaVine out there trying to run point. You want him to go do what he do, and that's get buckets. He's a professional scorer. I told people about Norman Powell with Portland. I knew Portland was going to be a problem. They also 3-0 since Norman Powell got there. He had a great game against the Detroit Pistons, had 14 points, 3 steals, 2 blocks. But Andre Drummond wasn't who people thought he was going to be going with the Lakers. But I would just say it's only one game. The man ain't played since February 12th. That's a long time to not play professional basketball. And I don't know about this toenail thing that happened with him. I know he's going to be out the next game that the Lakers are going to be playing. So let's hope that, you know, once AD and LeBron get back, they'll be able to get Drummond, you know, into shape. Because that's a lot to ask of him. He's coming on his team to be a third or fourth wheel on the spoke, because you still can't forget about Dennis Schroeder. But now he comes into the Lakers, and now because LeBron and AD is not there, you're asking him to be number one and number two. That's not fair, Andre Drummond. But I do think once AD and LeBron get back and they can get some chemistry with Andre Drummond, that's going to be a nasty team to contend with. So as far as who I have winning the West, I got the Lakers winning. If AD and LeBron is healthy. If they're not healthy, I'm going with Denver or Portland. Even though I like Phoenix, I have to see some more of what they have to offer before I'm ready to, you know, put my eggs in a basket with Phoenix. But I would say that the Denver or Portland probably has the better chance of coming out the West. Yeah, right now I do got Joker over Embiid, because Embiid is hurt. And Joker is still putting up numbers. He's still doing what he has to do in order to keep his name relevant in this MVP conversation. So, yeah, I got the Joker. Go check that man's numbers, man. The Joker is no joke. No pun intended. But also, too, man, we got to talk about this Mike Tyson fight, because that's funny. You know, Mike Tyson's supposed to be going against Evander Holyfield, supposedly. Now, they cannot come to an agreement on money, I'm assuming. But I want to know what y'all think. Do y'all think, now first of all, I know these two guys are old, but let's look back at the Roy Jones Jr. fight. Mike Tyson looked like he was pulling punches. Let's be real. It looked like him and Roy Jones Jr. had a conversation before the fight, and Mike said, "Hey, bro." I mean, Roy said, "Hey, bro. Don't hit me in the face. You can hit me with some body shots, but just don't hit me in the face." Because it was some times Mike Tyson looked like, hey, he could have put Roy on his ass. But that was an eye exhibition fight. But you want me to be honest? You want to know what Rob's two cents is? If he at Holyfield go at it, Mike Tyson gonna be looking to knock that boy the fuck out. He gonna be looking to knock Holyfield on his ass, because Holyfield, you got to remember, he holds two victories over Mike Tyson. I had to hit the ribby real quick. He holds two victories over Mike Tyson. The first one, the round was stopped in the fight was stopped in the 11th round because Mike had that cut over his eye. Referee said no mas, get him up out of there. The second fight, you know what happened? He took a piece of his ear. He said he had to take a piece of his ear, and you know, it was a ludicrous. But Mike Tyson is going to be looking to get some revenge and get a victory against Holyfield. And I'm telling y'all, boy, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty because Holyfield ain't the same Holyfield from back in the day. And if he decide he want to use that big-ass head to headbutt Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson going to be looking to probably bite off his other ear. But yeah, man. Oh, you got Tyson. I got Tyson too. I don't think this is gonna be a pretty fight. We don't know if it's gonna happen, but if it does happen, it was scheduled for May 29th, I believe. So be on the lookout for that. Gotta give some love to a Chicago native. Juan Howard was named the AP College Coach of the Year, the head coach for the Michigan Wolverines. I know my sister-in-law, I love to hear that. Kim is all Michigan all the time. But got to give a shout out to Juan Howard for that. That was big. Michigan, they fought as hard as they could. They were pretty shorthanded this year. You know, so they don't need to hang their heads, man. That's been a pretty weird season in college basketball. I haven't even been able to keep up with it because, you know, so many teams, you know, couldn't make it to the tournament due to COVID or whatnot. So, you know, hopefully we can get to a spot where we can, you know, get past this thing. I'm about tired of COVID, but we ain't even gonna bring that up. We want to keep it positive on this show. But on a good note, the NFL, I read an article on NFL.com, and they're saying that they're predicting they're gonna have a full stadium come opening day. So that sounds like some good news. I know that might scare some people, but no, we need to get back to as much normalcy as possible. And it's going to be great to see NFL fans back in the stands. It felt great to see the few fans that they allowed in the stadium on Super Bowl when you know my boy Tom. You know old GOAT Brady. You know, he had to put a whooping on my boy Pat Mahomes, man. But it's going to be great to see fans back, including, you know, for all my people on here that do watch wrestling. They're going to have fans at WrestleMania. I believe they said up to 25,000, I believe. So that is going to be beautiful. I saw WrestleMania last year. It was great for what it was, but it was definitely not the same. You know, certain things that happen that you will hear that pop. You know, when a crowd pop, y'all know y'all remember watching back wrestling back in the day and Stone Cold, you hear that glass break or you got The Rock, you smell what The Rock is cooking, and you just hear that pop from the fans, like the camera is shaking because the stadium is erupting. I feel like you don't get that anymore. So that's gonna be real huge to see fans back in the stands. I am here for that, man. What's up, V Dub, my boy in the building? You said you got both doses of that vaccine. Hey, I ain't mad at you, bro. I'ma wait. You know what I'm saying? I promise you this though: if you turn into a zombie, I put you down myself. That's how much I love you. I'm just playing, man. But yeah, man, come on, y'all, talk to me. What more y'all want to hear about what's going on in the land of sports? Oh, Isaiah Thomas just got signed to a 10-day contract with the Pelicans. I forgot to say that. He hasn't played basketball since February 3rd of 2020. So the little man is going to be back on the court. That's my boy. Isaiah is a ball. I really hate that back injury took him out. He was having such a great year for Boston that year. And, you know, he was defying the odds. We hadn't seen a little guy play like that since Allen Iverson, man. So Isaiah Thomas, man, is going to be a welcome sight to see him back. Oh, we got to get into a little tea. Let me grab my cup. Did y'all see what was going on with KD and Michael Rapaport? Did y'all see Michael Rapaport expose KD for the DMs? Hey, KD was talking some real shit. Hey, he talking about some, when I see you, I'ma spit on you. Where you at? KD was coming up on a pull-up. He told him, your wife must be embarrassed that you her husband. You a bitch and all that. KD was talking some shit to Michael Rapaport. I was like, why? And Michael Rapaport, now I like him. I mean, if y'all don't know who Michael Rapaport is, I believe that it was Higher Learning. Remember, he was the racist white kid. In case y'all don't know who Michael Rappaport is. So, you know, he's always been big into the sports, big into the black community. You know, he's one of our vanilla chocolate brothers. That's the best way to describe it. And him and KD actually have built a friendship off him, them talking shit to each other. But Michael Rappaport has some things to say, you know, about KD in terms of the Brooklyn Nets. You know, a lot of people in the media have been saying KD's scared of LeBron. All of them scared of LeBron, so they formed the Avengers to go against Thanos. And, you know, so KD ain't took a kind of them words, man. And, you know, Michael Rappaport can, if you haven't seen him, you'll see him like on First Take sometime. You'll see him on Undisputed. He be talking out the side of his neck. So I'm pretty sure he said some shit to KD to garnish them comments because you can tell KD was fucking responding back to shit he said, but Michael Rappaport had deleted it. What's up, family? What's up? Sean, thank you. You showing love all the way from Hawaii. I appreciate that. Much love, family. Yes. Nice to see you, Ash. I appreciate you for joining the show. But yeah, back on topic, man. KD. So you know, KD started DMing Mike. Mike, hey, KD, like, you got all this to say about me. Why don't you come say it to me? And Michael Rappaport, like, you ain't gonna do shit. And woo, woo. And KD, like, when I see you, I'ma spit in your face. I'ma beat you up where you at. Come meet me here. Cause you know Michael Rappaport from New York. KD plays from Brooklyn. Where's Brooklyn? In New York. So KD said, pull up, or I'll pull up. And Mike got so scared that this man went on Instagram, deleted his comments, mind you, and just posted everything that KD said. That was a snitch move, Mike. That wasn't cool. You know, you're supposed to handle that. You talking about because he spoke about your wife, you had to expose y'all conversation. Clearly, KD meant that to be a one-on-one with y'all. Regardless of what he was saying, he still came at you. He wasn't posting nothing publicly. So, you know, you kind of showed your true colors there, man. You gotta be careful. See, a lot of people don't realize you can't talk to these NBA players, these football players, any way you want to. Even though we look on them on TV and some people, I don't know how, believe they're not real people. They are real people. KD grew up in a hood similar to my hood. These players grew up in hoods. You got to remember, just because you see them on TV and they smile on a Nike commercial, these still the same players that will beat your ass. They are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". You do not, you see Dennis Rodman putting fingernail polish on. I bet you won't nobody say that shit to his face. He will beat your ass out here. Like, you got to remember, these are people. So you got to watch the way that you talk to people. Yeah, you see me on TV, you see me kissing babies and hugging cancer patients, but I'm still the same person that will beat your ass. Like, you got to remember that. Like, you got to be careful in how you talk to these players, these people that want to be racist, these people that, you know, want to talk out the side of their neck because he didn't hit a free throw for you so you can get a free taco. You was 1 point away from 100 points and you didn't get your free taco. So you feel like you can yell at this player that's 6'7", 230 pound, and all muscle, that can jump out the gym. You want to yell at that person and call him out his name. And you 5'5", 250 pounds, fat. But leave that boy alone. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so Michael Rappaport learned that the hard way with KD. Also, some more tea for y'all. Stephen A. Smith has some comments to say about Russell Westbrook, and his wife checked him. I'm just being real. You got to watch what you say about these players and how you say it. Now, granted, on the other side of of the equation, players can't be so damn soft, you know. People gonna say stuff about you. It's just life. Now, Stephen A. didn't say anything negative about Russell Westbrook, the man. But yes, if you play basketball, this is a field that I'm trying to get in. So you have to understand, you play on a national stage, which means that people are going to talk about it. And there are people that actually get paid a nice amount of money to critique your game. And yes, some of these people never ever played the game of basketball, never played the game of football, never played the game of baseball. Just because I didn't play it on your level doesn't mean I can't understand the game. God didn't bless me with your athletic ability, but God blessed me with the same with a mind. I can read plays. I can understand plays. I can read what's going on out there. I know when you should have ran a different option on that play, and I caught it before you did. You know what I'm saying? So you can't sit there and say you can't. You know, I see a lot of players say that that's one of their go-tos. You can't judge my game if you never played the game. Why not? You playing right in front of my face. I've watched so much basketball, I can tell you what sets y'all running. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, that's a different story. But Stephen A. Smith critiqued Russell Westbrook's game, in which he said, Russell Westbrook, as great as a player as he is, he's not a winner. He's at the point in his career where I'm not paying attention to the numbers you put up. I know you can put up these numbers. You win a whole season averaging a triple double. You win that season, you won that MVP, you scored, you had 40 something triple doubles. Nobody's seen that since Oscar Robertson. I know that you can do that. That doesn't shock me. I know you can dunk on people. I know you're going to get people involved in the game. Does that translate into winning a championship? Do you getting your numbers make you guys that much better where you're a championship contender? And you haven't been in a situation where you haven't played with great players. You wasn't in that situation like playing like James Harden was that year where he had nobody in Houston. Or how LeBron used to be in Cleveland the first go around where he took a bunch of bums to the finals. No wonder he got swept by the Spurs. The Spurs saw them and was like, oh Lord Jesus, it's a W. I'm telling y'all, man, Russell Westbrook played with KD. Russell Westbrook has played with James Harden. Russell Westbrook has played with Paul George. He's played with Ibaka. And it's funny that all of those players, minus Paul George, got a ring. KD got two rings. Ibaka got a ring, got one with the Raptors. Well, and besides James Harden. But James Harden got to the Western Conference Finals. But James Harden, the reason I'm not so quick to say Brooklyn is going to win the championship is because I've seen James Harden kill in the regular season. I haven't seen James Harden go crazy in the playoffs. And when he has gone crazy in the playoffs, it's been in the earlier rounds. But I remember he pretty much had Golden State handed to him in the bag. And you and your team decided to keep shooting threes that you knew you couldn't make. How you shoot 7 of 46 from the 3-point line? Like, it didn't click in y'all head that, hey, we should stop shooting threes, at least for right now. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I have more faith that Kevin Durant is there, but KD pretty much been sitting out all year. So how serious is that injury? Did he have to overcompensate because he had a torn Achilles? We don't know. But to get back on track with Russell Westbrook, so after Stephen A. made his comment, Russell Westbrook said he's a winner at life. He said, I made it to the NBA. I grew up in the hood. I grew up poor, no food, no money. And I made it to the NBA and I get paid millions of dollars for you to come watch me play. I made it in life. I'm a champion at life. We ain't talking about that. He never once said you weren't a great man and things that you did in your community or do for your community, he never questioned that. All he questioned was your game. And even Russell Westbrook's wife came out and had to let Stephen A. know, hey, bro, you played in college. You weren't even good enough to make it to the NBA. Hey, she went in on folks. Hey, but it's all right. It's all right. Stephen A. Smith actually applauded her for doing that because he said if he was married, he would hope that his wife would stick up for him the way Russell Westbrook's wife stuck up for him. So that's crazy. Oh, Tino, what's good, my boy? I appreciate you for tuning in, brother. Real talk. And I agree with you, bro. That's his problem. Russell Westbrook, and I think he's getting a little bit more mature. And I think playing with Bradley Beal is kind of bringing the great personality out of Russ because they can relate on, you know, I guess, NBA trials and tribulations. But that's been Russell's problem for years. It's his attitude. He can't play with other people. Even though he played with KD, you would think he would realize KD is the best player on the court. He dominates. He does things that I can't do. He do things that I can't do. But yet they are clash. And I don't understand why. Because Russell has to be the alpha. He has to be the alpha. He has that mentality. I mean, look at the way he reacts. He's dunk like look at this past game that he played against the Hornets. Y'all losing. It's like a minute left on the clock. You do dunk the shit out of Biombo. He caught Biombo slipping hard. That was a nice dunk. We ain't seen Russ dunk like that since OKC. But y'all losing. And he frowning and pounding his chest. Bro, y'all losing. It ain't nothing for you to celebrate, bro. Like, it was a great dunk. But you lost the game with a minute left and y'all down double digits. And he frowned like you done did something. You ain't did shit. Too late for that. We needed that, Russ, at the beginning of the third. But hey, man, I digress, man. These players have to stop being so sensitive. They got to understand that you're going to get talked about. That's just a part of life. As long as players can, these analysts can keep it respectful and talk about your game, then that's what they should do. And before I leave, I want to talk about something that's been bothering me that these national sports people are not going to talk about. I want y'all to tell y'all friends to come into this live for this because this is something that I got to get off my chest. I never like to play the race game. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm intending to do. And I need y'all to tell y'all friends to join in on this one because this is real. Because this is what ESPN, this is what Fox, even though I plan on working for these stations in the future, you gotta say what's real. And what's real is Deshaun Watson has been in the news lately. And it's been allegations of women coming out of nowhere, which is it's just coincidental that this happened when he told Houston that he wanted to trade from this team. And Houston said, "We're not gonna let you go." And now all of a sudden, Houston's attorney or a friend of the owners that's an attorney has now got a bunch of women claiming that Deshaun Watson has, sexually, molested them or whatever, or done some unwanted sexual actions towards them while they were there to give him a massage and whatnot. And first it started off with three women, then it went to seven, then it went to 12. I don't even know how many women have filed lawsuits against him. And I want to say this first before I go into anything. I do not blame the women. If he did indeed do that, then he needs to pay for his actions because you should never force yourself on a woman. And if a woman is claiming he did it, we just got to hope that she's telling the truth. And we got to investigate because that's what you have to do. No woman should ever be made forced to be do anything against their will. But all the media attention has been going towards Deshaun Watson. That, yeah, hey, and you ain't lying, Tino, but you got to investigate. And women come out and say that that happened to them, you have to investigate because it's some sick people out here. And I understand that. But we saw a white player. I don't even remember his name because that's how unimportant he was. But the fact that the NFL and all these sports networks swept that under the rug. They talked about it for like 2 days and the conversation was over with. This man had a black girlfriend, and I don't care if she was white, I don't care if she was Hispanic, Asian, whatever. He had a girlfriend. She just happened to be black. And he beat this woman, forced her throughout the relationship to do crazy shit, bow down to me, kiss my feet, feed me, and beat this woman within an inch of her life. And they swept that shit under the rug. Now you want to talk about what Deshaun Watson is doing. And I understand people want to make the argument he's a bigger name. people know who Deshaun Watson is. And you don't even know who the white guy name. It don't matter. They knew at the time. I think his name Chris Wheeler, or something like that. I don't even want to say the wrong name because I don't want to discredit anybody's image. They need to say his name. And I don't even want to look it up because that story was so disgusting. But the fact that they talked, they talked about everything that's going on with Deshaun. They talked about this man for 2 days. Chad Wheeler, I appreciate it. I was close. I said Chris Wheeler. I knew it was something stupid like that. Chad Wheeler. Thank you, Jay. Chad Wheeler beat his girlfriend within an inch of her life. I'm talking about it was bad, y'all. It was disgusting. And you know how the media tries to play that game of when it's one of us, we're criminals. But when it's our counterparts, it's a mental disorder. It's a mental issue. He was crazy. He didn't know what he was doing. You know, and I try not to get too political because I'm here to talk sports. This is the hottest sports conversation in the nation. This is Rob Two Cents. But when I see wrong, I got to address that. And wrong is wrong. He shouldn't even be able to play in the NFL again. You should have seen how Bate beat up this girl. This woman might not ever look the same as she did before that incident. So we got to do more as people watching this media production and these people that's creating the narrative. We got to stand up and say something. That's what I'm going to do on my platform. And I appreciate y'all for being a part of Rob's Two Cents. I want to end it on that note. We're going to join me on Monday. Tuesday, I should say. I'll be recording Monday. I have the next show out Tuesday. I just wanted to do something different tonight, y'all. I wanted to talk to my people, talk to people that's been constantly supporting me to see if people were going to support. And I appreciate everybody that stepped in and out of this live, man. I love you guys, man. We're going to be talking a lot going on into Tuesday because the playoffs getting there. So we need to start making our playoff predictions. Talking about who's going to be in this play-in tournament and how do we see that shaping up. NFL is going to be starting soon. I know I told you guys who've been watching, I'm going to get into baseball, man. I appreciate y'all for, tuning in. I'm going to start watching baseball, I promise. I need to just learn the ins and out of it first. I need to know what I'm talking about before I start talking about it, y'all. My boy Theo, I told y'all I was going to do that. Theo! I appreciate you, man. Hey, blessings, Jay, and blessings to everybody that came on this live show, man. Hope y'all continue to do good, man. Hey, subscribe to my channel while I got y'all here. Rob's Two Cents on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I'm everywhere, man. Make sure y'all hit your boy up, man. I appreciate everything that y'all do for me, man, because y'all continue to give me the support and give me the energy. This was fun. I'm going to be doing more live shows in the future. I want y'all to continue to be great. And y'all already know the slogan, baby. We gone. There's a bigger fight going on. There's a much bigger agenda than the streets. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that far in front of us, but we have to look past the illusions, look past the delusions of grandeur, and look at the bigger picture. We need to become better versions of ourselves each and every day. Fight for what you believe in, because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. We just getting started, baby. You guys know the slogan now. Hope you all have a great evening. And we go.